I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
Gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Johnno Lobster. The horseman comes, and tonight he comes for you. This is Legends of Halloween.
On Halloween.
On Halloween, and the horseman is coming on all three of us.
I don't want to know that.
Whoa.
Well, if the horseman's Christopher Walken, that could be an interesting evening.
Hey, listen, we started Legends of Halloween with Christopher Walken, and we're fucking ending it with Christopher Walken.
He just talks less and less.
In this one,
he grunts, I think.
So Christopher Walken, when he talks about this film, he's like, you know, it's the one where I actually get to kiss someone.
Oh, God!
He was a vampire at the end? I don't...
He filed his teeth into points, and
that was
there
just
was
to be
French,
mean, right?
To look badass.
Yeah, but still, that's not the whole bloodlust.
He's kind of pissed.
And at the end, remember, she made a deal with Satan for her soul if the Headless Horseman would come back and avenge her, which he did. He came back and killed everyone she wanted him to kill. And at the end, he reclaimed his head, and he gets to drag her to hell. That's to fulfill the deal.
And the sequel is the movie with Sam Raimi, Drag Me to Hell?
Sure.
Okay.
But at the end, he gives her a French kiss. And, you know, it's toothy.
Oh. Yeah. Can we agree on one thing? This is the start of Tim Burton doing theater at the movies.
Okay, so... Tim Burton, obviously, is a director that I respect and admire. I know, Wing, you're a fan of his earlier work.
This is the movie that makes the break, to be honest. That's my break movie. Everything he did before that, love. Everything after, it really depends.
Okay. So for me, I loved this movie, and I hated Planet of the Apes.
Who didn't?
Okay. But I loved Big Fish.
Big Fish is a very, very good movie that I can't watch again for personal reasons.
Does it hit you in the feels?
Yes, a little bit too much.
That's what it's supposed to do. Yeah,
I know, but I'm never going to watch that thing again.
Right. So, I mean, were you ugly crying in the theater or where?
Oh, you have no idea.
So we can agree that the film achieves its goal, right? I think Sleepy Hollow achieves its goal. And for me, that goal is some over-the-top, melodramatic, gothic fun. Like, this is just it's saturated. You know that thing where you have, like, a sponge that can't hold any more water? It's, like, super saturated with atmosphere from start to finish. And... there's something about the way that Tim Burton works the magic in this movie. Again, there are parts of the movie that are repetitive, that are dumb. The plot is overcomplicated. There's some good acting and some not so good acting. But there's like this masterful permeation of this film that Burton is uncompromising in what he's trying to achieve. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to recreate this genre of film. Now we would talk about like the Hammer horror films, right? of the 60s and 70s.
He is in this period as well. If you're looking at his overall period in movies, you have the early period where he was doing basically what the studio wanted. Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, Batman.
Right.
Then you get the second Batman where he plays theater a lot this. And that's where you understand that he can reinvent legends and these kinds of story. And I think that's the first time that he's trying with something that is not just a Batman or something that's kind of recent, that is ingrained in, can I say, American history at this point?
Oh, you can. Yeah, absolutely. This isn't The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving is an American ghost story. It's like an American folk tale. And it was, you can trace back legends of headless horsemen to the Middle Ages and like Norse mythology and stuff. But all of that gets brought over. And again, the region where this is all set was very heavily influenced by the Dutch. And so this film, again, it's taking this archetype, this tale, and reinventing it. And this is kind of the time period where Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, like these are films, like these classic horror movies are getting remade, and there's kind of this renewed interest. And they, you know, I can see the studio going to Tim Burton and saying, okay, we want you to, like, who better to do a modern retelling of a classic, you know, horror story than Tim Burton, right? So I could see them going to him, and he's like, you know what, I'll do Sleepy Hollow, and but I want to play around with that.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Sleepy Hollow the thing he did because he was supposed to do Superman, and that was dragging, so they paid a pet project for him, and that was it? If I remember correctly. Yeah.
I mean, I can really sense Tim Burton's stamp on this, and if you look at the film, it echoes... it echoes Beetlejuice. It echoes a lot of films. And who does he cast in the movie? He does his greatest hits, basically.
Christopher Lee has basically a bit part.
Right. Christopher Lee is in it, but he goes back and he pulls Martin Landau out of Ed Wood. He pulls Christopher Walken from Batman Returns. He pulls Johnny Depp. He goes back and kind of pulls these actors that he's worked with, and then he rounds out the cast with people from Harry Potter and Star Wars.
Okay, question. What the fuck does Casper Van Dien do in this movie? At this point, he was doing like Tarzan and Starship Trooper. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's working with Tim Burton. And he has not a bit part. He actually has a part.
Yeah, I mean, he plays the meathead. He plays the bully. Ironically, Casper Van Dien is Dutch and related to the actual Van Garrett family.
He's the only Van something.
Yeah, right. But again, I just love that you've got this sort of schlocky. And again, he's not making a prestige piece. He's not making an Academy Award nominated movie here.
Oh, no, that thing.
Although it was. I mean, this actually did win the Academy Award, I think, for set design. But he's
the sets
doing
were amazing.
Right. But he's doing his take on a B movie, and it's elevating it, but it's at the same time, it's like really staying true to that sort of vision.
I prefer his first take on a B movie personally,
which was
Mars Attack.
Yeah. And I love Mars Attacks also.
And then you had the movie about the guy from Plan 9 from Outer Space. I don't know why I don't remember the name of these movies. Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Ed Wood, which is probably my favorite Tim Burton of all time, beside Batman.
But again, and I don't want to leave Beef out of this conversation, but again,
we already lost him half an hour ago. It's okay.
I really feel like this movie is classic Burton. It's Burton exercising his vision as a director. And again, like, I don't know how much of this is the studio saying this is the kind of movie we want and him like delivering that, but also I feel like he was, like you said, given a blank check to make the movie that he wanted. And it did fine at the box office. It made its budget back. It wasn't like a runaway hit. It came in like number two after a James Bond movie or something. Oh, yeah. But it was fine. And I remember very clearly watching it when it came out. And it's one of those movies that I kind of go back to every year around this time, especially on Halloween, because I think it fits so perfectly with the vibe that I enjoy with Halloween, which is, again, like, even though this is a very violent movie, I don't go in for the slasher movies that much. This movie has like 18 decapitations.
Yeah, but they're all comedic.
Right. They're all hyper stylized, and it's even the blood
in this is like such a joke. Like, all the blood spray to his face is like, is this supposed to gross me out?
It is beyond excessive.
Yeah.
And the way they film it, everything's with a blue filter. So the blood, in order to not look black, they had to like make it bright orange. And so you can imagine like what it must have looked like in real life. And the way it looks on screen, again, the opening shot of the movie, it sets it up because they show you the red wax. And you see the wax dripping, and you're like, oh, that looks really vivid and also kind of like blood. And then that gets repeated through the movie.
Yeah, that blood looks cheap.
Wait, 2 seconds. They make an 11 from Stranger Things candle holder now that you burn red candles in, and one of her nostrils is open, and it drips red wax out the nose.
Cute. That's kind of cute.
That is awesome. I have a little 11 on my desk with a Demogorgon in the classroom, and it came in my loot crate this month.
Yeah, it'd be a lot cooler if we could all talk about it, but, you know, moving on.
How about Jack Torrance as a pup, and it's written Red Rum on the plastic of the box with blood going down? It's kind of cool.
It's cool.
I was looking at Tim Burton's filmography, and I think I'm right on the money on this, because he did Ed Wood in 94. Mars Attack in 96, Sleepy Hollow in 99, which makes sense with what you did. He's in his B-movie period, but he was supposed to release Superman in 99, and that didn't happen. So that was the pet project they gave him before they forced him to do Planet of the Apes, which he didn't give a shit. If you look at the extras on that DVD, he's directing with his bathrobe, and he doesn't care.
Right.
And after that, you go back to, Big Fish, we talked about, but Charlie's in the Chocolate Factory, Sweeney Todd, where he go, Alice in the Wonderland, where he goes back and reinvent. I would say put a gothic spin on all these classic story, and this is where I'm not a fan anymore.
Well, and right in between, around this time, is Nightmare Before Christmas. He didn't direct it, but he produced, and everyone kind of associates that with Tim Burton's style, where it is, again, very similar to Sleepy Hollow. Halloween Town looks almost like Sleepy Hollow.
That's true.
Which is really kind of cool, because they built, Beef mentioned that he thought the sets looked really great. They couldn't find anywhere in the real world that looked like what they wanted, so they built the village from the ground up.
Which I can tell you that they build the forest too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so cool the way they really bring this to life. Anyway, I'm done gushing about the movie. Let's get maybe more into like the plot and the story and the characters. But Beef, so this was your first time, right?
It was. They didn't take it easy on me either. I actually kind of enjoyed it the whole way through, and it wasn't a bad flick. It kind of dragged a bit. I mean, the story seemed a little convoluted. I'm like, this isn't what I remember at all, which is fine. I'm okay with retellings.
It has almost nothing to do with the original Sleepy Hollow story.
But again, it still was fun. It took me through it, and then it started getting kind of sloppy all over the place, but I still was entertained, and, you know, I couldn't shut it off for the podcast. The gore, like we said, was over the top. The beheadings were comical. For half a second I was like, wait a minute, it's just dudes faking it? And then I realized it was actually a headless horseman as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know. No, I had fun with it.
It's a horseman. That's headless. A headless one.
You didn't see him.
Yes, we told you. No, you don't understand. He's real. Yes, we told you.
But you didn't see him.
I love that. Yeah.
No, it was it was cool to see all the people that even if I didn't know their names, I knew exactly that they were in everything.
Sure. Yeah.
I found the real story behind all that. It's Coppola that referred Tim Burton for this movie, and he was so frustrated that, about the Superman Live thing that he wanted to do something of a horror movie because that was a challenge and something he never did. Yeah. So his big thing was to try to put a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde spin to the story.
Which I got none of that.
Me neither.
Well, I mean, if you look at the classic story, Ichabod Crane is not an attractive fellow. So they didn't want to put a bunch of prosthetics on Johnny Depp and make him look weird. So what they did instead was they emphasized the unattractive character traits. Like, he's a bit of a wuss. He faints 5 times during the movie. He is afraid of spiders and blood, even though he's a forensic scientist, or what passes for one in the late 17th or 18th century. So it's just kind of neat the way that they, I think, again, the way that they turn it on its head, and they kind of do, like, not steampunk, but almost steampunk in terms of what Ichabod Crane's character is doing. Like, he's got all these gadgets and these newfangled ideas, but at the same time, they're definitely dealing with some supernatural stuff. And what are the rules of that? And I love the fact that in the middle of the film, there's this unexplained thing where the horsemen can't cross onto holy ground. Like, it's never mentioned. They never explain it. It's just one of those rules that if he's sent by Satan, then he can't enter church.
What was
church
with the,
ground?
Ricci doing the pentagrams or whatever.
She's a witch, people of the wild, something like that.
She's one of the children of the forest.
Yeah, but so, what is she doing? Is she warding him off? Or?
Right. They show later, and that's when he realizes that she wasn't behind it, that that's a spell for the protection of loved ones. So to protect people you love, you put that symbol near them.
Okay.
And that then he's like, oh, she was actually not calling the horsemen. She was trying to protect us.
Yeah, one of my other big problem in this movie is that some motivations are kind of weird, and even if you see things coming, you're like, okay, that doesn't seem to make sense. So that's why you put it aside. So when it happens, I don't see that as much as a twist, as a, hey, see, we can do it anyway.
Yeah.
The movie does that couple of times throughout. The other big thing I would agree with Beef is the pacing.
Yes.
The pacing is very... You cut this movie in two and you put it over 2 nights as a miniseries, it works better.
I did that, actually, when I rewatched it. I stopped it right after Ichabod sees the horseman for the first time.
That would be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, and I stop it there and he falls asleep, and then I restart it when the movie kind of picks up again. So, but one thing I have to argue
in nice
favor...
Nice next time if you tell us you're one of your favorite movies, how to watch it.
Well,
the only other movie I watched that way is Superman Return, because if you actually cut it in two, it's actually okay.
I will say one thing that this movie benefits from is rewatching. Like, it actually stands up to watching again year after year, because I, even though I've watched it a bunch of times, forget certain things in the plot, and then I watch it again and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And then I remember exactly how it all fits together. Now, I have a pretty good understanding of what the plot is at this point. If there's any sticking points that you want me to go over, I'm happy to. But I think that...
It's the evil godmother that has a grudge and is trying to kill everyone.
Again,
it's a classic story.
Stepmother, she wants to, again, get revenge on the people that wronged her family. So she sort of works her way in. And then when the time is right, she uses her trump card, which is the Headless Horseman, to get what she wants.
Yeah, so it is a classic story. I'm going to give it that. What makes it interesting is that there is the Tim Burton twist in it, and he's not yet full-blown Tim Burton. So you can actually enjoy sets, because I think we all enjoyed the little town. We all did. I'm not a big fan of the old forest thing.
Tree of the Dead.
Yeah, built inside, very obviously. But I love the town. I really, really did. So the fact that there's still these little thing, and let's face it, it costs $1.3 million to build.
Yeah.
In 1998.
When the horseman harpooned the guy through the chest and pulled him out the window and decapitated him at the lot line. Yeah. Pretty sweet.
That was sweet. That was sweet. The first time he gets attacked by the horseman with the pumpkin, and it's actually Casper Van Dien. I always forget that part because I've seen this multiple times.
And it's recreated from the animated one, the Disney Legend of Sleepy Hollow. They recreate that shot for shot,
and it's funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny. That's
The other thing that I love here, speaking of the horseman, is he's basically the Terminator. He can't be stopped. He will find you, he will kill you. And I love that they kind of make him this force of nature, this sort of invulnerable assassin, that whatever you throw at him, you can blow him up, you can shoot him, burn the building down around him, whatever, he's not going to stop. And I kind of like that they do that, but I also like that the way that they defeat him is by completing him. You give him his head back.
You complete me.
Yeah, exactly. You give him his head back, he has agency again and can do what he wants. He doesn't necessarily want to kill everyone. He's just forced to.
He wants to go back to hell and be like relax and beside the fire eating. Yeah. I don't know.
That's how hell works.
S'mores.
But, okay.
Oh no, you're right. Hell is alcohol, drugs, speed.
He wants to hang out with Miranda Richardson and do headless stuff.
Endless stuff.
I love that you were talking about the plot. So Ichabod Crane is like trying to brainstorm, and he's writing stuff down, and he gives the entire summary of why the horseman is killing people. He just has the wrong person. Yeah. He has the husband instead of the wife.
That's one of the things that bugs me at some point. He always repeat the old story with the new element and what it changed. I'm like, I'm not that stupid. Yeah. Just you could say that and I could understand that because I've seen what happened. You didn't. It's little things. I'm going to give that to Bert, and he becomes a little bit better at that later in his career. Even if I like his movie less, he becomes better at that. But this movie is beautiful. That's what saved the movie. Actually, what saves the movie for me is all the secondary characters, which are all super well played. The only characters that seem to be off for me are Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci, and that's pretty much it. The other actors all seems on point.
I think Miranda Richardson gets a little cartoony at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And she does the monologue, and she does all the classic villain things. I could have done without that, but I love Michael Gambon, Jeffrey Jones, Richard Griffiths, Ian McDermott, Michael Goh, like all of these incredible actors, again, who show up in Harry Potter and Star Wars, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, where's Ray Park?
Ray Park is the Headless Horseman. He's the stunt performer that has a blue hood on the entire movie and is the stunt performer for the Headless Horseman.
Okay, so all the Sith Lords from the first prequel trilogy are in this movie. Okay.
That is correct.
Nice.
but at the same time, like there's people like even all the way down the list, we said Christopher Lee is just in one scene at the beginning of the movie. It's Martin Landau is in one scene at the beginning of the movie. Like it's.
Yeah. That's a positive and a negative. Every time I was seeing one of them, I was like, what the hell? And then I was waiting for them to come back just because it's Martin Landau, right. It's Christopher Lee, and they must have a part, you know?
Much fun. Danny Elfman's score, fantastic. I don't know. The art direction, as we said, fantastic. They shot in Britain, which is interesting, but you can kind of tell from the way the costumes are made, kind of the way everything's made. I feel like if you made it in the States, it would look like Colonial Williamsburg. But it's here, it looks good.
I just want to give like a big adds up to the people at Pinewood, because this has been filmed at the Levinstein Studio, which is just beside it, where they filmed Star Wars, which is just beside Pinewood. That place that we've seen in there, do you remember Casino Royale when they're in South Africa at the start? It's the same lot.
Okay, cool.
It's crazy. They can change that lot in some ways. Before it was that, it was a Star Wars Episode 1 set.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how they can do this. But that's why it costs $1 million to do this. Yeah. But these sets are amazing, and there's no set like that in America. So that's why people go there when they need to do these things. Like the forest we've seen in this is the same forest as in Force Awakens. They learned from this one and they reproduced it when they got Force Awakens 15 years later.
It's cool. All right. I don't have anything more to say about this other than I love it.
And that's why I got very technical on this one, because I don't want to break your heart.
Oh, okay. Anything bad you want to say before we rate it?
It's like I said, that movie marks a very important moment for me in the career of Tim Burton, where he started to have maybe being too free and just be doing the Tim Burton spin. So as much as I can appreciate some parts of it, for me, it like a precursor from things to come.
Yeah.
So I have a weird relationship with this movie, but I can assure you that when we come to the rating, I'll be as objective as possible. So right. Beef, do your thing.
So Wing 4, Sleepy Hollow, are you going legendary?
The legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Legend of its time.
You have bewitched me.
Cult legend.
Hammer homage. Oh, wait, sorry. Hammer homage.
Awesome.
Seeing is believing.
Entertaining.
What a goose.
Mabel.
If you are wise, you will leave this place.
Forgettable.
Give it the evil eye.
Abysmal.
Kill it. No, stun it.
Spring Breakers Islander.
Sleepy Hollow, the TV show?
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of bright red fake blood.
God, that was fake. God, that was fake.
It was not real blood, and they were not actually decapitating people. Although, interesting bit of trivia, the horse that Johnny Depp rides really is named Goldeneye.
Oh, nice. Cute.
In real life.
Okay, so it is the horse from the James Bond set. Okay.
Yeah, sure. There you go. So they kept it around.
They kept the horse from GoldenEye.
And later on, it glues on Sean Connery's toupee. No way.
Ooh. God, I'm falling somewhere between entertaining and Mabel. I think I'm going to give it entertaining, because I think most people are going to just like open another beer and keep going with this movie.
Absolutely.
And that's how it's going to go. But with the reputation that this movie has, I think that's a fair assessment of what it is. I've seen it too much. I'll be honest with that. I've seen it too much, because every time people wants to watch some Tim Burton movie, for some reason, they bring back that and not Edwood or Mars Attack. So
Edwood.
Yeah, Edwood.
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 Edwood. Edwood?
Edwood?
Edwood.
Edwood. Yes. It's like
that's what the headless horseman got there from Miranda Richardson. He got some headwood.
There you go. So yeah, that's my relationship with this movie, where I would really go Mabel personally, but I can see the entertaining value and everything. And I'll be honest, the one that was on Shark Talk will not stop watching a little bit. So I'm gonna give it that. I'm gonna give it an entertaining. That I think that's fair. Beef. What a goose.
I think I got to follow your lead with What a Goose. I was at least entertained when watching it. It was kind of fun. I had fun with it. I made dinner and just kicked back and enjoyed and watched it. The sets were beautiful. It was nice to see all the people in it. Again, like Wing said, Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci did fall a little bit flat, or maybe they just acted over the top a bit. I don't know, but I didn't get it. But yeah, would I watch it again? Probably not. But I did sit all the way through it, and I did smile and laugh at a handful of parts. So What a Goose. Entertaining. Lobster.
I'm going up the scale for this one. Oh, this is hard for me. It's between Cult Legend And for me, a legend of its time.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's one of those movies for me that really, this time of year, it's one of my go-tos. Again, something about a movie with Christopher Walken and running around in the woods just really puts me in the mood. So I'm going to say that
weird things put you in the mood, man.
Different mood,
what can I say?
Different mood.
Yeah. So I'm going to say I'm bewitched by this movie, so it is a legend for me.
Legend of its time. Excellent.
Wow.
With a side of bright red fake blood squirting all over the place.
Nice. All right. Well, last word on Sleepy Hollow, fellas.
No head?
Pumpkin head.
All the head.
Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Shazam.
I wanted to do that.
Damn, sorry. I beat you to the punch.
Yeah, that's pretty much one of the only good news we got in the midst of all this shit in Hollywood. So
at this point in time, there's one man who has not sexually harassed anyone
that
and
we
is
know
getting
of
his career, and deservedly so in the case of those that have. But Zachary Levi, a.k.a. Chuck, a.k.a. what's his name from Frozen? No, wait, not Frozen. Was he in
Thor?
Tangled. Yes. Yes, he was one of the Warriors Three in the second Thor movie.
In the bad Thor movie, yeah.
No, in the good Thor movie. He replaced Josh Dallas, who's Prince Charming on Once Upon a Time. Yes, Zachary Levi is Shazam, formerly known as Captain Marvel, in DC's movie, I guess.
I wasn't
I guess
sure
they're making more movies that aren't related to the Justice League because that's probably smart.
You know what? I don't care anymore. You know, in comics, I've lived with multiple continuity for like 20 years, and I'm not that much more intelligent than most people. I think people can
That's
live
for sure.
with continuity and non-continuity movies. Do your thing and just move on. It's at this point, make a good movie, and if it happens to work into the framework of the rest of your shit, great. If it's like Wonder Woman, it's so good that you're like, yes, we need to retcon Batman v Superman because she would never drop Earth after World War One. You're like, okay, we're already retconning shit. So if it happens to work, great. If it doesn't, you know what? I'll take the movie at face value. We'll see about that in 3 weeks, too.
I mean, what's interesting about this casting for me is obviously I'm a big fan of Chuck.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite TV shows. I like Zachary Levi as a guy, as an actor. He does the Nerd Machine, which is kind of cool. But at the same time, Captain Marvel, Shazam, is cartoonishly muscular. Like, the whole point of him is that he's muscular to the point of absurdity. And in comics, like, yes, Superman is depicted as being muscular. Shazam is like closer to the Hulk. So I wonder if now again they've said that The Rock will play Black Adam, which is kind of like the mirror version, the dark mirror version of Shazam. That's more the musculature that we're talking here. I don't see Zachary Levi bulking up that much.
You know what? I thought that too, because the other guy that we're talking about was John Cena, which I was like, sure. Okay.
Fine. Hey,
fine.
He's buff.
But that's why the studio went with Zachary Levi, because they look at the acting possibility. And right now, John Cena is a
fantastic actor.
Yeah, John Cena is a funny guy, but it's not Zachary Levi. So what I didn't know, Zachary Levi is 6'4" and 240 pounds right now. So I was like,
so he's got a big frame to add some muscle to.
Yeah,
I was like, holy crap, I didn't know that. So if he trains for like 6 months like a crazy, he's going to be huge. Look what Ben did.
Look what Gal Gadot did.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, no one thought she would do it, and she definitely leaned out and put a shit ton of muscle on for that part. So it can be done.
Again, we'll see. I love that he already was in a Marvel movie, because that seems to be the thing. Like, you get a bit role in a Marvel movie, and then you go to the other, or you get a bit role in one side, then you go to the other and get a bigger part. J. Jonah Jameson as Commissioner Gordon, so on. Yeah.
I so hope they're going to keep some of that stuff, because J. Jonah Jameson as Gordon is just perfect. It's just perfect, but who knows if he's even going to be in this Batman movie at this point, right? Because who is it going to be? And let's face it, if Justice League worked, their next movie is going to be The Flash, because that wasn't one of the weird news this week. Like, oh, The Flash movie depends on the Justice League. And I was like, no shit. If they do that, they're going to go with the father version from what Flashpoint, and they already cast that guy. It's the comedian from Watchmen.
It's Negan.
Was it Negan? Oh, wow. Okay.
Walking Dead references there.
So they're trying to get out of that. So, like you said, you know what? If there's anything we're going to have at like 3-4 movies in the Superman Ben Affleck continuity, and then we're going to have other movies. And if the movies are good, I don't care if they're attached to it. What? How many Marvel movies there now? 20?
10 million, yeah.
Yeah, 20-some odds. I don't really care.
Now one more next weekend, or no, this weekend, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, but
I think I'm going to see that this weekend.
Me too.
Yeah, that one looks good. Again, that one looks good as a movie. But I was talking with Shark Tech, which was like, do I need to watch the other one? And I was like, I don't think so. Not by what I've seen, and I think that's a good thing. Just make a good freaking movie and stop trying to just like put shit in it. Just make a movie. And if it happens to work, great. If it doesn't,
Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam it, or don't do The Mummy again. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not happening, that Dark Universe. I don't know if we talked about that. What is happening, speaking of Marvel movies, I wasn't present for your discussion of this trailer, and I haven't listened to that episode, so I don't know what you said about it. I'm hoping that you watched the most recent trailer for Black Panther and said, show me my respect and bow down, because that is looks awesome.
It looks like another Marvel movie.
It looks like Marvel movies are starting to look, which is less like realistic takes on superheroes and sci-fi balls to the wall crazy movies.
I'm okay with how it looks. I'm a fan. I'm going to see it.
At this point, I'm kind of a little bit jaded, but because the last two were what, Doctor Strange and Guardian 2? I didn't see Spider-Man, but is Spider-Man that good?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yes, Spider-Man, I just watched it. It was very good. I didn't think it was going to be that good. For 2 hours and 15 minutes, it was really good. And I just watched Doctor Strange, which was a lot better than I thought it would be.
On this podcast, and we talked about it.
Still, a lot better than I thought it'd be.
This looks good. Black Panther, again. Two of the movies I've been most excited for in the slate were Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther. So far, both look amazing. And I continue to be excited for this. And one of the best jokes I saw was on the poster for Black Panther, the only two white people are Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis,
nice,
who are also in The Hobbit, and people said that they are the Tolkien white guys.
That's funny.
You said you were the most excited about these two.
Yes.
If you had asked me months years ago, I would have said I had no interest in either of these two. So I'm glad that these are now the two that I am most interested in,
because
I know nothing about them, and they look good and fun stories.
Right now, it's Justice League and Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. I'm so excited.
We're excited for those as well, and we will probably talk about them on this podcast.
Nuh-uh.
Another movie that we can talk about is Bright, coming to Netflix in December. This has Will Smith and Joel Edgerton. It's a buddy cop movie set in Middle Earth, like, I don't exactly know, but it looks cool.
Is it a movie or is it a show?
It is a movie that will be released via Netflix. So it will be like 2 hours and something, not a series, a movie, but only on the Netflix, not in
I did see the other trailer of this, and it did look good. I watched this new trailer a few minutes before the cast, and I'm still excited for it. It looks like it'll play out better than I thought it would from the first trailers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Orc Lives Matter, which is, I mean, they're doing basically...
It's like orcs and elves and everything.
Yeah, fantasy commentary on, you know, whatever society. And yeah, it looks fun.
Hey, can't be worse than any other Netflix movie I've watched before.
Right. They've all been not great. There's a couple that I want to watch this weekend. Stephen King has two, Gerald's Game and 1922.
I've heard 1922 is pretty good.
Good. I'm excited to watch those. Anyway, I don't think Netflix has nowhere to go but up with their original content. And we've been talking about things like Stranger Things.
Oh, their TV shows are awesome.
TV shows are good.
They're good at that. They're good at that.
Their original movies, I think, will be interesting to see. And this is the first one that truly seems to have big screen quality promise. Do you know what I mean? Like, this could be a big screen movie if movie studios were a little bit more ambitious these days. It would be cool to see something like this on the big screen.
You know, I have a theory why all the Netflix movies sucked for now, is that all the good movies, studios are actually going to release them in theater because there's more money to make than selling them to Netflix.
Yeah.
I think that's why Netflix is suffering.
Well, I think when it comes to movies, there's other release streams. You can shop it around at movie festivals, film festivals, and get it picked up by a distributor. And in some cases, that's been Netflix. In some cases, it's been Amazon. Or in some cases, it's been studios. But I think that, like, again, watching the trailer for Bright, this looks like big screen quality, especially the second trailer. The first trailer, I didn't really see it. But now that I think more of the effects are done and they've really kind of done what they wanted and they have it to show you, it looks good.
You know what? I was just thinking of the comment I just made, and for some reason, I'm watching our box office recap, and I was like, "Yeah, what's in theater kind of sucks too."
Yeah, there's almost nothing good to go see this past weekend.
Geostorm.
Did you see it?
Are you crazy?
No. I am also planning to go see Blade Runner 2049. I still have not seen that.
Okay, I tried to go see that last weekend, and except for like four 3D showing at like 10 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and crazy hours like that, that was it.
Yeah.
It's already starting to be super rough to go see. And let's face it.
I'm worried about.
This is a local movie for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Happy Death Day.
Who cares? Seriously.
George Clooney and Matt Damon's Suburbicon opened at 9th place.
That I can't believe. It made something like $745 by a theater.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I don't know if it's if people are just done with Hollywood right now with all the shit and that's happening.
Yeah, it's bad timing for that. There's definitely, you know, establishment Hollywood is suffering. Listen, one last Hollywood thing.
Insert one thing, money. Let's hope they listen. Sorry.
One last thing that I want to talk about is, do you guys miss Stargate?
Yes!
Do you wish you could watch more Stargate?
I want them to finish Universe off better than they did, damn it. But anyways,
have you been reading the comic continuation?
No.
Okay. So there is a comic continuation of Stargate Universe that just started. It's called Back to Destiny, and I believe the first two issues are out. I own them. They're at the bottom of my to be read pile.
Nice.
Which grows ever larger by the week. I will. Stargate Origins is launching the new Stargate Command streaming service. So basically, they're taking all of the Stargate content that exists, all like 22 seasons, and starting their own streaming service with also an original show called Stargate Origins. There's a first look trailer that you can watch. It kind of goes back in time to when the Stargate was first discovered. and tells the story from that vantage point.
I'm interested to see this. I think it could be fun, but again, I'm going to steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Star Trek Discovery, which is getting better and better each week.
And I keep saying,
damn, I should be paying for this.
But you know, I really got to watch that soon, and I'm just going to binge watch it all. Because I same thing with Orville. I still like Orville a lot. Yeah. The last episode was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So recently I was on my honeymoon, and I accidentally or unintentionally got my wife hooked on Star Trek Voyager.
You're awesome.
Oh.
So we're just sitting one evening. We didn't have much to do. So we're just sitting in our room, and Star Trek Voyager is on, and she gets hooked on it, and we keep watching. And then we get home, and I'm like, well, it's all on Netflix. Do you want to watch some of it? So we kind of picked up where the episodes that we watched were. And then she's like, hey, I feel like I'm missing stuff. Can we go back to the beginning? So now we're rewatching the series from the start.
I think Voyager is my favorite one. I'm watching Enterprise right now. I only watched a couple of episodes. And honestly, after season one, this show becomes very good.
It does. It picks up.
I don't understand why people were bitching that much.
Yeah. Part of it, I think, is fatigue, because all of these shows were on at the same time or right after each other.
They started
repeating story points and things like that. And if you can just watch it on its own and on its own merits, it's fine. Like, Voyager is a show, and I was skipping around and being like, okay, like, we'll skip through season four, season five. You can get the highlights. And the good episodes are very good. And the episodes that you would normally skip over, say, well, you know, not that great, they're still fine. Like, it's watchable television still.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's quality television versus a lot of shit that there's out there. So.
Right, and it's out there. So you can watch your new stuff, but if you feel like putting something on that you don't really have to think that hard about. In my case, I've seen most of them, so it's good to have there.
But the Star Trek show is really funny, because I watch a lot of, how do you call that, Pontificator on YouTube talk about this, and everybody that's like you and me, I don't know if you're a big Trekkie, I don't know what to call them anymore. Trekkie. I don't know if you're a big Trekkie or not. I've watched Star Trek. That's my involvement in Star Trek. I enjoy it. That's pretty much where I am. So I like this show, but everybody that's very into it are like, oh my God, it breaks canon, blah, blah, blah. And I think not knowing canon is helping me a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I don't care. The show's just good.
I think if you can come at it objectively, and someone was explaining to me how they're a huge original series fan. They have to do like mental gymnastics to watch Discovery and basically separate the part of their brain that knows the original series exists, so that they can reconcile how on Discovery they have holographic technology and that never shows up on the original series.
And it's a parallel universe. That's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm like, who cares? It's a Star Trek show. It's a Star Trek ship. They're in Starfleet. There's Klingons. There's Vulcans. It's all fine.
Have you seen the theory that they're in the Mirror Universe?
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I could kind of buy that, but
give me Zachary Quinto with a goatee. Come on.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think, like, they're telling stories from a modern perspective, and it's like, if in 1960 they had cell phones and high-speed internet and computers and everything that we have today, their vision of the future would have looked different, right? Even what they would have made with low budget, working with what they had, right?
I'm going to go farther than that. I think that, like you said, it's just a question of budget, because as soon as they did the next series, the Next Generation, and then the other movies, it looked already kind. It still works today. You watch Wrath of Khan, I believe the technology in the ship.
Yeah.
Not in the original series. It's a bunch of card box pre-painted.
Sure. So, again, you'll always have that stigma of the original series was made on a shoestring, and they couldn't show you what the technology would have been. So you just kind of have to imagine that it was there, just not on screen. Like, you just didn't see it. So for me, watching Discovery, and I love the cast,
yeah,
and I love the design of the ship and the show. Like, it's grown on me. Like, again, watching especially the first episode that they showed on TV to get you to buy in, I would not have been hooked at that point.
Are but you serious? Those two just loved.
Remember, it was just one. It was just the first part of that first episode.
That was stupid of them. Wow.
But again, if they had showed this week's episode with Dwight as Harvey Mudd.
Oh, I'm late one episode, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
That's again, what I'm doing after this cast.
If they had showed the most recent episode, but again, like, you've kind of gotten to know the characters, so it all works. I don't know. I'm more hooked now.
Overall, it's a good show. I just hope that they find a way to monetize it, because I know nobody that pays for it. Yeah. And I know a lot of people that like Star Trek. And so it's kind of weird. Yeah. A lot of people found a way to just hook their Netflix to Australia. There's a way where you put the category code at the end.
So all right, you're going to get us Star banned Trek on iTunes shit like that. For I don't describing know. These techniques. Am I? Okay. Suffice to say, if you want to watch it, it's out there.
It's out there. So.
Next time.
We have no idea what we're talking about next
time. Something next time on Legends Podcast.
We will discuss a movie, argue, and probably swear.
Most likely.
And we'll have a schedule for the next couple of weeks.
This has been episode 346 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, a jack-o'-lantern?
I'm John D. saying... No more weird Burton shit, okay?
And I'm Lobster saying, live long and beware the horseman.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.